Good morning, church family. It is good to see you guys this morning. Can you believe it's October and fall, and some of you are loving this weather. Some of you are like, oh, the cold is getting ready to happen. But it's good to see you guys this morning. I'm glad we are here. As you can tell with the little video intro there, we are in our new sermon series talking about the family. And we're not talking about the family as in your husband and wife or siblings or children, but we're talking about what it means to be the family of God, the church, and how we function as the church. And last week we got into this section and we began talking about how we became the family. Talk about what Christ did to adopt us as family, that how he adopted us. He came for us. He came to save us and rescue us and bring us into God's family. That our Christianity isn't just something that we are saved individually, but we are saved individually into the family of God. We live out our faith in the family. And it's not, we talked about this last week, that it's not just an idea or a good statement or, oh, we're family, but it's an actual truth, a reality. God is our Heavenly Father. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we talked about last week that much of the modern church has lost what this reality is, that we function as the family, living out our faith together. Much of our modern, especially American Christianity, views the church and being in the church as some place where we go to either get some information, some spiritual nuggets, a feel good about God, to get a little bit of wisdom about God, and then go on our individual lives. But that is not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us that we are important to be in relationship and family with one another. We noted last week that the word church in the Greek language is ekklesia, which means the gathering. The gathering of what? The family of God. They gather together on what and why? On who Christ is. We noticed this last week that's part of what Peter proclaimed. That when he said, you know, when Jesus was asking his disciples, who do you say I am? And they're talking about the crowds giving statements, and then he asked them, who do you say I am? And Peter speaks up, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus applauds him. He said, you learned that from the Father. The Father taught you that. And upon that rock, that declaration of who I am, I will build my church, my gathering, my people on that rock and on that foundation. So what's the process then? What's the process of building us on that rock? What does it look like for us to be built on that rock as the family of God? That's what we're going to be looking at today. That we are this community of lifelong learners. So if you want to turn in your Bibles, I'm going to be in Ephesians chapter 4 here in a minute. And we're going to really just kind of go through that verse by verse. Some really beautiful stuff that's in there, which teaches us the process that God does for us to be the family. And then I'm going to cross-reference a little bit in Acts chapter 2. But let us pray right now that God would just speak to us and move in us to put a kind of a glue in us to be connected as the family of God. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the fact that we can gather together here in your name. We gather together in your name because of what you have done. How you saved us from our sin. You saved us from the wrath of our sin. You saved us from all the brokenness that is due to us because of our rebellion against you. But you didn't just save us. You saved us into your family. So Lord, we thank you and we praise you that we can be fully loved by you, Heavenly Father. That we can be amongst other people who are fully loved by you. So Lord, teach us this morning. Put a value in our hearts and our minds. Guide us this morning to be your family. Instruct us in the process. Transform our values. Transform our hearts and our minds. Transform our calendars and our days and everything that we need to change so that we can become more and more your family. And where we fail, Lord, may your grace abound. Where we struggle as family, Lord, may your grace pour over us. May your love lead us. And may your word guide us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we talk about maturing, in life, you think about just being born into this world. You really didn't do anything, did you? Just kind of happened. There you were. You went from darkness to light. There you are. You're created and you're coming to this world, and all of a sudden you're vulnerable. All of a sudden you have to be fed. You have to be taken care of. You have to be cleaned and comforted. And it is a constant changing of a little baby and taking care of them. This process of your life has begun. But you don't stay in that state. You mature, and we look at children. We got our nursery, which is growing, and children's ministry, which is starting to fill up, and I appreciate all of that, seeing that. I was just down there this morning, seeing my family being there with everybody else's families, and seeing these little kids. They can feed themselves, most of them. But do they pick out their clothes? Probably not. Mom probably helps them out, or they at least have a handful of outfits that they like. They grow, they will eventually go to school, and as they're going to school, they're still being taught and learned, and mom and dad are the main people who care for them and lead them and guide them and teach them. But they've matured from an infant to a child, from a child to a teenager. And if you know teenage years, as I live and breathe that nonstop with four of them, that it's this moving from childhood to adulthood and the equipping of them to be adults, to have responsibilities. But yet, it's mom and dad who take them where they need to be, who encourage them when they fail, who help guide them in their decision-making, helping them to view things through the gospel and through what God wants them to be as their own faith. Training them. They're maturing, but yet they're still greater than they were, but not where they're going to be. And the process goes on, so then they go into adulthood and learn how to live out their adulthood, but yet they still have a connection with their parents, leaning on them to guide them as they begin these things called marriage and children and their own families. And in that process, now they're beginning that, almost looking back at something that's a whole new world for them, full of fear and excitement. And who do they lean on? They still lean on their parents. They still lean on grandparents. They still lean on the family to help them as they are now creating their own family. To the point where you reach the age and stage of life where you're a grandparent and you're still pouring back into generation after generation. But yet you yourself are still growing into new things that you're experiencing. Life is like this. This is how our God designs for us as the family to function. We are to be maturing and growing. We don't just get saved and all of a sudden we've got it all together. You're saved into this family, but now you got to mature. And you don't mature yourself. You don't make yourself grown. We all know what it looks like to see somebody who is 40 years old but still has the emotional capacity of a 12-year-old. You've encountered them, you're like, oh, you haven't grown up yet, but yet you're physically mature. Yet, where are we in our growth and our maturity and our growing with the Lord? What's the process that God has developed? What's the environment that he has created for us to grow? To not stay where we once were, but to continue to fail and struggle and get boo-boos and get stronger and healthier? It's the family. It's the family of God. That's what we are for. To be in each other's lives, to help each other grow and mature. So Paul, after talking about what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross and all the glory he is due, says in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11, and I want to read this to you guys, and if you have your Bibles, you can turn there and follow along. Paul says to the Ephesian church that Jesus gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, that's pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is the word of God for the people of God. Here Paul describes a maturing process and people given to help in that process. So what I want to do with this text here this morning is I want to make four kind of observations. Four big things we can pull from here about how do we mature and grow as believers. And the first observation is that the aim of the ministry of the people God gave in verse 11, the apostles, evangelists, the prophets, the pastors, is to equip the family by being the church, to mature in that. And we see that in verse 12. The family is to be equipped. The saints are to be equipped for the work of ministry and service, for building up the body of Christ. So the aim of our ministry, of the people listed in verse 11, is building up and training the family, to train the family to function like the family. Not just equip a few individual members. Not just there's certain individuals they want to pour into, but all of the family as a unit. Notice what he says here. If we can put verse 12 back up there for me. I appreciate that, Chad. He says that it's for the building up of the body of Christ. Not just individuals. Not just a few folks. But the whole unit needs to be built up. Everyone needs to be brought into this. Not just the brand new believers, but everybody. That the family grows together. And the family that grows together stays together. That means the church learns together. It's connected under the word and being taught together. This is important for you. The more often we value gathering together, which means the church, under the teaching and leading, then we are equipped to serve one another. That's why we should be gathering, to be equipping the believers. That's what we're here for, to be trained in this. We could do it on our own, but then we can't. We won't mature on our own. My wife and I, we do distance running, and I shared this with you before. We do 5Ks, 10Ks. We've done half marathons, even full marathons together. And one of the things that while we can go and we do train quite a bit on our own, one of the greatest tools that help us grow in our conditioning, one of the greatest things that helps us and grow in our speed and our ability to complete these races is training in groups of people. Sometimes just Jennifer and I go out and we run together. We do that quite a bit. But then there are times when we go and we gather with other people who are runners, some who are extremely fast. This city is full of Boston Marathon qualified runners, which you have to be in the top tier runners in the country to qualify to run in that race. And we will run with them, or we'll basically chase them. We don't really run with them. We're trying to keep up and say, please stop, I'm going to die. But why do we run with them? Because running with these faster people, these stronger runners, these better conditioned runners, strengthens us. And then sometimes we'll slow down and run with other pace groups who are slower than us, helping them to get stronger. We have friends who are getting into running, and we'll run with them and train them. Does it help us? Yes, because it keeps our conditioning, keeps us moving. But it also helps us think about what we're doing. Oh, well, this is the pains or struggles. And the things you're going through as a brand new runner is the same things you're going through as a seasoned runner, just at a faster, harder pace, at a longer distance. But the community of runners is what grows you. It strengthens you. Because by yourself, you can just get in a comfortable pace. So this is okay. You can't achieve all that you're supposed to be. But how funny would it be? How silly is it? And we hear people say this all the time. You may know friends like this. I can't seem to figure out why I can't get in shape. I can't seem to figure out why I can't lose any weight. I mean, I go to the gym once or twice a month for like an hour, and I don't know why I can't get stronger or healthier. I don't know why I can't get better physically in shape. I mean, I go for a walk from my couch to my fridge constantly. But yet that's how we treat following Christ. The saddest statistic I read not too long ago from Barna Research Group, but the average American Christian views faithful attending of church to be once every 6 weeks. Once every 6 weeks, that's 6 to 8 times a year. That is considered regular and faithful. I hope your boss doesn't think that way, because your company would fall apart. Yet that's how many of us view being a part of the family of God. Many of us believe the lie that you don't need to be in church often to be a Christian. No, you don't need to go to church to be saved, but to live out your faith, yes, you do need to be a part of the body of Christ. It is the church that grows you. It's the church that helps administer the sacraments. It's the church that teaches you. It's the church that protects you. It's the church that is there for you. We had a family member in our body this week who lost a son, an adult son. And many of our body just rallying around, bringing them groceries, bringing them things they need. Praise the Lord, that's what the church is for. That's how we express the faith. This is not an auditorium. It's a family gathering place. It's the family room of God. This is what we do here. My point here is very simple. If you are going to mature in your faith, you have to value being regularly a part of the body of Christ, to be equipped to serve, so that you may mature and serve one another and grow. We grow as the body. We deal and wrestle with sin as the body. Look at the early church. Acts chapter 2. I'm just going to reference these two verses for a second. We'll come back to this passage later. But here Luke records this about the early church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, and so the breaking of bread and the prayers. The breaking of bread is both the communion and a fellowship meal that they had with one another. And so you see, what did they do? They were devoted to this. They were devoted to being under the apostles' teachings. And it wasn't just on Sundays. Verse 46, and day by day attending the temple together. The temple of God in Israel was where the church first gathered. That was their kind of church location. They didn't have buildings. They were so large, over 3,000 people, they gathered in the temple. And they were breaking bread in people's homes. And they received their food with glad and generous hearts. There's this devotion. Devotion to being with one another. A devotion to being under the teaching of God's word. Daily. It's so much more than just Sunday mornings. It's ongoingly being connected into God's word with God's people. So our first observation from our Ephesians text is that if we are going to mature and encounter all God has for us as the body of Christ, we need to value gathering together for being under his teaching as God's family. The second observation I want to make for you is found in verse 13. In verse 13, Paul says, after he tells them that they're to be equipped in this, he says, until we all attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. So our aim here as we gather to learn is to keep on building up the family until we grow and have this unity of faith, unity of the knowledge. Our goal as a group is to let go of anything that hinders us from our faith. The unity, the gathering, what's keeping us from being united? It's the sin. It's the sin in us. It's the struggles in us. It's the selfishness in us. We got to let go of that. And together, challenging each other, walking with each other, holding each other accountable. Hey, brother. Hey, sister. This is something you're struggling with. And it causes separation. We want to be united. How do we get together? We address it. We love on it. We apply the grace and the love of God to one another. And we are brought together. And in that, it's on the knowledge of the Son of God. Not just information, but information that's leading to transformation. So you are actually encountering your God working in your life. You don't just know facts about God. Jesus is the Son of God. Great. The demons believe that as well. But it's supposed to be a radical change in us that He is our Savior, He is our God, He is our Lord. So therefore, I need to be encountering Him. I need to grow in the knowledge of the relationship with Him. I need to be letting go of my struggles. I need to be clinging to Him and encountering His authority in my life because He's good. And I want to know the goodness of my God that I just sang about. I want to know about the goodness of my God in every aspect of my life. And so we do this not as just individuals, but as the family. My family celebrates when my son wins a football game. My family celebrates when my daughter does well in a cross-country race. My family goes and cheers on their oldest daughter at an EKU band marching thing. The family celebrates. And when someone is sick, someone is hurting, someone is failing, someone has got sin in their life, the whole family is affected and the whole family rallies and the whole family stops and works with that family member so that we can be united as the family because we are better together than we are apart. You need to learn that phrase when you think about church. We are better together than we are apart. The third observation or aim that we see going on in Paul's text here is that for us as a Christians to attain this corporate personality of Christ-likeness, we see it in the second half of verse 13. So he says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. In the Greek world, the mature person, the mature man was described as somebody who was a symbol of physical health, somebody of strength and full of life where things were in order and properly designed. So who is the mature man? It's Jesus. The mature one is we are to become corporately coming together to become more like Christ. Now, I want to pause on this because this can become overwhelming when you hear this as an individual. Becoming more like Christ. I keep doing that, Pastor, and I keep struggling because you're trying to be on your own. The becoming like Christ is a corporate work. It's a corporate thing. It's a family thing. We mature together. Yes, we have different ages and stages in my family. I got a college freshman and an eighth grader. But we're all maturing together, growing together. What we ask of my 18-year-old, we do not ask of my 13-year-old. But we are still painting the picture of what maturity is going to be and what's going to be called of you and what's going to be asked of you. And we mature and we grow. We as believers, we need to value that we will become more and more like Christ with one another. I can't do it on my own. If I did it on my own, I'd already done it. But I can't. I'm unable. I need you. You help me as your pastor grow, and I help you as your pastor grow, and you help one another as family members grow. This is what we do as the family of God. I think this means we share responsibility. We share responsibility to help each other grow, and there's three groups who do. The pastor, teachers, evangelists, all of them, they share in part of that responsibility. The family of God is a part of that responsibility. And the individual seeking to live as much of your personal spiritual life under the teaching and with the family helps grow. We have to begin to be family. That needs to be our number one priority. Our number one priority as a church is not, hey, how can we reproduce and get more bodies in the building? Our number one priority needs to be maturing and growing as the family of God. And as we mature and grow, we will naturally reproduce. We all know that an immature 12-year-old can have a child. It doesn't mean that they are mature enough to be raising a child. They're going to need still their own mom and dads to help them raise a child because they're too immature. How many churches have exploded in our city full of immature believers, bringing up more immature believers? And what is the byproduct of those churches? It's just entertainment, entertainment, entertainment of Jesus, because those people are not mature in faith and strong in the Word of God, how to live out life as the family of God. Oh, they can celebrate great. They can have great rock concerts and great fun, but they're of no good to reaching the world for the gospel because the gospel still isn't growing and maturing in them. It's a giant nursery. We're going to be a healthy, growing, strong family. This is why we have the environments that we do for discipleship classes and small groups and the youth ministry to function the way our youth ministry does, not as a childcare or a daycare, but teaching in the Word of God. We have to overflow with being the family. And as we are the family, we will reproduce. Our fourth observation that I want to see here is that God doesn't just, put us in this process, but it's to move us out of being childlike into maturity. In verse 14, so that we're not tossed around like children, he says, the result of you doing this, being under this teaching, is so that we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness and deceitful scheming. So that we no longer are children. If the leaders are doing their job, teaching people to walk by faith in Christ, and sadly, in most of our churches right now, that is not happening. But if the leaders are doing their job, teaching people to walk by faith in Christ, to apply what they learn in the family, and you are, as the family, are gathering together regularly to be taught to mature, you will mature over time and grow. And what will happen is you will see you are no longer tossed around by all the anxieties and fears and troubles of the world. You're no longer easily led astray by prosperity gospel or false doctrines or other religions or experiential things. But you're grounded on the rock, grounded in the gospel. You will no longer be moved around by the politics of our nation, but steadfast in the truth of our Lord. A mature family is a stable family because it is built on the solid rock of Christ. How? How is it built on that? We see that in verse 15. He tells us to speak the truth in love. To be speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. The plain answer of how we grow, how we mature in Christ, is we become corporately a people who are constantly speaking the truth in love. Now, I want to pause on that because some of you, and I am one of them, have misunderstood this. Where you think it's, and I have thought this, where it's, I'm going to tell you what you need to hear with a nice, soft, loving tone. I'm going to tell you what a knucklehead you are, or how hard life really is, or you really messed that up, but in a loving tone. I love you, brother. You're a moron. No. What is the truth that we are to be speaking in love? It's the gospel. It's the gospel. We are to be people who speak, because that is the gospel that matures me in Christ. You telling me about some truth, the way you see it in a loving tone, it does not mature me in Christ. You're to be speaking the gospel to me in my life, speaking the gospel over me in my life. That's what he's talking about, is teaching God's word to one another. The context here is all about teaching. This is why one of our value systems as a church is we as disciples are lifelong learners. Think about this. Back in verse 11, the apostles, who are they? They're authoritative foundational witnesses of the truth, who were given the truth by the Son, and who were dwelt powerfully with the Holy Spirit to bring that truth to us. Who are the prophets? They are men and women who speak the truth, dealing with the context of the world around them. As they shine a light, they illuminate the word of God into the context of the world. The evangelists are people who do the work of sharing the gospel truth to the lost and broken world, especially when you have churches that are not doing their job. And finally, you have the pastor, teachers, which is actually one office. It's not two there. They are the people who lead the truth and oversee the truth of the local church and take the truth and teach the truth and feed the sheep to protect the flock of God so it may mature and grow. Every one of these offices centers on the teaching of the truth and of God's people. These people are truth agents. That's part of our context. So speaking biblical truth means that the family of God is built up through equippers who are all about the truth. And the aim of the upbuilding of the church, the vision that we have, is to be focusing on learning and growing in our Father and the Son of God and overflowing with that. And the aim also as individuals and as a church family is that we mature in the truth of the gospel, applying it to one another, speaking it to one another, helping each other repent and trust in the Lord. Let me give you an example of this. Say one of you, hypothetically here, came to me, and this is all made up. I literally just made this up. Come to me and just said, hey, Pastor, I'm really worried. I'm worried about my finances. I'm worried about what's my struggles in my life. I don't think God loves me anymore because I'm going through this hardship. I don't know if maybe I don't have enough faith to believe in the Lord, and that's why I don't have the finances that I have. I can speak to that person in humanly wisdom about managing their money or things they can do differently or their job or how your expenses are, or I can speak the gospel truth to them in their fears. I can come to them and tell you, brother, sister, first of all, if you having enough faith was the qualifier for you to be saved, you never would be saved. God adopted you when you had no faith. God fully loved you and forgave all of your sin 100% while you still had no faith. He chose to make you his and presented his truth to you so you would believe. He did that work for you. So you having enough faith isn't the issue. Second, if having enough faith was the qualifier for having a good, easy life and no pain and hardship, then the apostles have no faith. Jesus had no faith because they lived poor, hard, laborious lives, died for their faith. So they must not have had enough faith either. So the issue here isn't faith. The issue is how you see your world, how you see your life. That you must be entitled as a believer and a child of God to an easy life. But this is a broken, sinful world. The easy life is of the new kingdom that is still to come. where our God and our Father is taking us and leading us. There will be no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears, no more loneliness, no more any of this. And you will be rich in the kingdom of God because God looks at gold and says, I'm going to pave the roads with it. Because his kingdom is so much more powerful than the paving of the roads. But my brother and my sister, you need to have a true understanding of who you are as a child of God. You are fully loved by God. So as your brother and your sister, let me walk with you in this hardship. Let me show you God's love. What are some bills I can help you pay? What are some things I can help you do? What are some groceries I can bring you? How can I come alongside of you and help you in this earthly struggle because you are family? Not because you did something, because what God did for you. You are mine, so I bring you into this, and I will love on you like family and care for you like family and speak the truth in love to you like family. Don't let sin rob you of what God has done, family. That's what Paul is talking about here, that we live and we function as the family. Constantly in the Word and letting the Word change our hearts, letting the Word change our lives, sharing meals, sharing life. This is what we see the early church doing. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. Let me read the whole thing and just take it all in with all this context in mind. Paul says this to these, Luke says this about these believers. He says, they were devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. That means every issue of their life, every struggle of their life, every sin, every hardship, everything. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, they're attending to the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. And they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising who? God. And having favor with all the people. That's all the non-believers around them were looking at them with awe and wonder and praise. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who are being saved. Trinity, this is why we do what we do here at this church. We gather together as often as we can. I would love to be gathering and teaching with you guys daily if possible. But this is why we put forward, if you didn't know this, I have videos I put out every Wednesday teaching further stuff on our Sunday sermons every week, putting those out. This is why we have home groups. This is why we have our Wednesday night stuff. This is why we have our youth ministry, so that we can gather and provide opportunities to gather. Why? So we can have fellowship clubs? No, so we can gather around the teaching of the apostles, so we can be trained, so we can be family, so we can love one another and share life with one another. That's why we gather. This is the large family room. And those smaller things are just the smaller gathering points of the family. And we want to create more. And we need more of you to help us create more. We create more opportunities, more space for more family. God will give us more family. But this is what we're doing here as a body. And so I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you. Take this single point home. Let us be dedicated to gathering as the family and being devoted to the apostles' teaching. Why? So you and I can mature and be strengthened as the body of Christ. Let us be devoted. Let us carve out our calendars. My friends, I've taught this before, that the two greatest ways to tell a person's values is by how they spend their time and how they spend their money. What does your checkbook reveal, and what does your calendar reveal about your values? Here, this is about us valuing being the body of Christ. Let our calendar reflect that. Let our checkbook reflect that. Let our lives reflect that. That we're proud of the family of God. And we want to gather together as the family of God. so that we can be matured in Christ and know Christ more, and we can help others do the same. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you so much for your word. It instructs our lives. It is good for us. It is challenging and hard for us, but it's good. Lord, move in Trinity, our members online, our members in face-to-face, to gather as often as we can, to not forsake being the body, but to continue to grow and to see, as Lord, you have over the last year and a half, more people slowly becoming a part of this body. May we be faithful members, faithful to your word, speaking your love and your truth to one another. Fill this place with your love and your grace and your truth. Fill this place with the body of Christ. Lord, bring us new brothers and sisters in Christ. Bring us new people who want to become born again into a new life in Christ. That we may walk with them and help raise them in you, Lord. Lord, may we go home today and look at our calendars, look at our time. And how does our calendar reflect our belief of our devotion to you and the family of God? May we be stretched in that, and may we grow in that. Because our desire is not to please you, our desire is to know you more. You are fully pleased with us. We pray this and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.